Amen. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And I have a lot of scripture again here tonight, so they're going to be putting it on. They're going to be putting it on the screen. So if I go too fast, because I got a lot of scripture, I got a lot of notes, you can direct your attention to the screen also and see the notes there. Amen. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer.
Amen.
Somebody say prayer.
Prayer.
It ends with prayer because the best is saved for last. Father, we thank you once again for the reading of your word, anointed to our hearts, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Somebody say prayer.
Prayer.
Prayer. Prayer. Most people pray. Most people pray. Even people that are not saved. They pray. They're about to get to an accident.
Come on.
They pray. They get pulled over. They feel like they're going to OD. Oh, you remember.
Yeah. I was there.
Come on, somebody. Huh? Most people pray. Most people pray often. They go to jail.
Come on.
Hello, somebody. They become prayer warriors. Come on, somebody.
Come on.
Huh? They're going to court. They start fasting. Hello, somebody. So most people pray. Most people pray often because they're often in trouble. Hello, somebody. A study showed that 58% of Americans say they pray. That's a lot of people. But most people just pray by themselves. Notice that in the West, or mainly here in America, most people, that out of that 58%, pray by themselves. There is hardly any group prayer that takes place. And because of that, they're missing out on a big blessing when it comes down to group prayer or praying together as a church. I titled this message, Why Pray with the Church?
Come on now.
Why pray with the church? See, in the western half of the world, and especially here in America, the independent spirit prevails. It prevails over the interdependent spirit. In other words, here in America, there is the independent spirit, it prevails. While in other places, there's a spirit of interdependence. In other words, I need you, you need me.
Okay.
You scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. A lot of places in the world, especially in third world countries, they understand this. They understand that, listen, you know, we need each other in order to survive here. We can't do this alone. So therefore, my crop, I take care of chickens, and I may have some eggs, and you take care of cows, and you may have some milk. Man, put them together, we have some good breakfast going on.
Yeah.
Right? It's that interdependence. While in America, it's like, you know, no, I gotta have a chicken and a cow and a pig for some bacon. Right? So in America, the spirit of independence, it prevails. This is why we celebrate Independence Day. Right? So it prevails. The spirit here in America is the spirit of the discoverer. This is why Christopher Columbus says, or they say that Christopher Columbus, what, discovered America. But how can you discover something that's always been there and always already been discovered? Come on, somebody. So the spirit of the discoverers here, the spirit of the frontiersmen, the pioneer heading west with all his worldly goods and a covered wagon, the lone farming family on the prairie with no neighbors for miles, the cowboy on the open range, the space explorer, the entrepreneur. This spirit is a major influence on our American view of the Christian life. This is how we view the Christian life because of our culture here in America. So the consequence is that we individualize many references to corporate experiences in the Bible. In the Bible, there's so many references to the corporate experience. In the New Testament especially, they were all together in one place. They were all together in one place. Then the Spirit came like a mighty rushing wind. You don't see the independent spirit there. You see the interdependent spirits. You see? So in America, we often emphasize personal prayer, personal Bible study, personal evangelism, and personal Christian maturity and growth. The fact is that more is said in the book of Acts and the epistles about corporate prayer, corporate learning, corporate evangelism, and corporate maturity. More is said about growing together as the body of Christ. More is said about these disciplines that are done corporately than the independent ones. Now, don't misunderstand. Both are important. It's important that we have spiritual disciplines as an individual Christian. But it's also most important to have church disciplines together as the body of Christ. So what am I saying? It's important that you have a private prayer life, but it's also much important that you have a corporate church prayer life.
Yeah.
This is why we have an hour of power before every service.
Come on, somebody.
Because we understand the importance of corporate prayer.
Yes.
I prayed in the morning. Come on, somebody. I prayed. Me and my wife pray. We pray in the mornings. We read our Bible in the mornings. We read books, we study, we get fed, but we also come to the house of God to worship with the people of God, to pray with the people of God, to equip the people of God. If I wasn't preaching, then I'd be sitting there listening to the preaching of God and being edified together with the body of Christ.
Amen.
Oftentimes, though, American Christians or the Christians in the West, We individualize it. See, the personal dimensions of Christianity are difficult. Catch this. Are difficult to maintain and practice consistently unless they grow out of a proper corporate experience on a regular basis. Let me break that down to you. It's hard to do your spiritual disciplines by yourself unless it's assisted and aided by the church. Why do you have a longing to pray? Because of the message you heard.
Right.
Why do you have a longing to serve God? Because you came to church and you heard the preaching? It pushes you to want to pray. It pushes you to want to read your Bible. It pushes you to want to have a devotional life. You come and you're reminded through the church. You're reminded not just through the preaching, but through the fellowship when after service or before service, you're fellowshipping with the brethren and with the family. And you're hearing how God is moving in their life. And you're hearing how God has been answering prayers within their life. And all of a sudden, you're motivated to say, you know what, man? I need to pray more. I need to fast more. I need to read the word more. I need to hit the streets more. I need to pray for my family more. Why? But it was birthed through the corporate.
Good.
It's hard. It's difficult to maintain the personal dimensions of Christianity without the flow of the church. You can't do that unless they grow, unless it grows out of a proper corporate experience on a regular basis. Amen. I told you I've been serving God for 18 years. You know what's helped me serve God for 18 years?
Come on.
It's yes, prayer. Yes, the word. But right up there is church attendance.
Right.
Amen.
Yes.
Huh? Church attendance.
Right.
We say it all the time. We stay so we keep you so busy in victory outreach, you ain't got time to backslide.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
You work all week, so you better not backslide during the week. Come on, somebody. But even then, we got Wednesday Life Group.
Yeah,
man. Having rallies on Mondays and Tuesdays and meet. Come on, somebody.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Then the weekend comes when you know you're more tempted to backslide, but then you got fired up Friday service.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, service Sunday morning, service Sunday night.
Right.
Keep you busy in the house of the Lord.
Yes.
Hmm?
Jesus.
Tonight, I want to break it down on why it's important that we pray with the church. Why is it important that we pray with the church? And I want to show you from Scripture, and I want to give you five reasons from the Scriptures that it's important to pray with the church.
Amen.
The first one is because praying with the church is what the New Testament church modeled.
All right.
The New Testament church, the first church, modeled corporate prayer. They modeled corporate prayer. In other words, it was a mark of the early church. Prayer needs to be a mark of victory outreach prayer.
That's right.
Yeah. Man, that's right.
Yes. That's who we are.
That when people say, I need prayer,
come on.
They know where to come to.
Amen.
If people don't know where to come to for prayer, then there's something wrong.
Right.
If people don't know that they can come here an hour before service and there's going to be prayer, then there's something wrong.
Hello.
Come on.
Huh? I don't want to be known by our nice flyers.
Come on.
I don't want to be known by, you know, our building.
Come on, Pastor.
I don't want to be known by the car that I drive, but I want to be known as a church.
Amen.
That prays.
Amen.
That was the mark. That was the mark of the New Testament church. They were known to be a praying church.
Yes.
A praying people. Acts 2:42 says it. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. They devoted themselves to prayer. They knew that these people were people that were devoted to prayer.
That's right.
Come on. That's right.
Do people know that about us?
Yeah.
Huh?
Good point.
Yeah, they know us as Victory Outreach. They know. Sometimes they say, oh, that's the drug addict church, the gang member church. No, no, my friend, we need to be known as a church that prays.
Yeah.
We're a praying church. And anything, man, if they talk about us, let them say that we pray too much. And that's right. We do pray too much. Come on, somebody. And we can't get enough of prayer.
Amen.
Good.
You know, I asked God to show me what. All these years I've been praying. All these years, for 18 years, I've been serving God. Say, God, I was talking to God. I was praying. I said, God, what have I learned, you know, about prayer all these years? And you know what God showed me? He told me this. That you haven't prayed enough.
Wow.
He told me that. Yeah, he just slapped me like that. He said, you haven't prayed enough. Come on, somebody.
Right.
But God, I prayed an hour for 18, every day for 18 years. Well, 16 years, sorry, I came to Victory Outreach. A couple of days I played the come on, somebody. I've prayed two hours a day many times. Sometimes I tarried long in prayer. Sometimes I lay prostrate in prayer. But God says, you haven't prayed enough.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't prayed enough. Huh? We haven't prayed enough.
That's right.
You know, the thing about it is that we'll go to a movie and we'll sit there in that movie theater for 3 hours. Sometimes for 3.5 hours.
Ouch.
And we'll be captivated in a fantasy world.
Wow.
You know, they did a study years ago about why people like to go to the movies. And it's because they like to take a break from reality.
Wow.
Mm.
And we want to be fantasized because really, that's not real.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody.
Good.
Huh? So we're there for 3.5 hours in a fantasy world.
Wow.
And God said, listen, what would happen if you would pray for those 3.5 hours? Talk about a fantasy world. The world will say, talk about a fantasy world. The world, the non-believer will say, that who's being fantasy now? Right?
Yeah.
They have this thing called fantasy football.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What is it? In other words, it's like you being, but you're not really that player. You're not really that team, but you're like, you're playing like you're controlling that team. But it's all a fantasy.
Yeah. Wow.
Some people look at, the world looks at prayer like that. The world looks at prayer as being a fantasy.
Wow.
Yeah. That don't really, prayer don't really work.
Come on.
Corporate prayer don't really work. God ain't got, you know, what do you mean? You know, that don't work. You're just wasting your time right there on your knees. The world says that.
Wow.
But God showed me that that's the realest thing you can do.
Yeah.
Because let me tell you something. Today I'm a blessed man. And like Pastor Augie said, you know what I'm doing is I'm walking on prayers from 5 years ago. All I'm doing today is I'm walking on prayers that I prayed 7 years ago, 8 years ago, 5 years ago. I'm walking on those prayers. I prayed, Lord, give us a church. I prayed, Lord, give us a strong worship team. I prayed, Lord, give us a leadership. I prayed, Lord, give us home directors. I prayed, Lord, give us a home. I said, I prayed, Lord, give us some tigers. I prayed, Lord, give us a drama team. I prayed, Lord, give us leaders. I prayed, Lord, give us a piano. I prayed, Lord, give us a drum set. I prayed, Lord, give us some speakers. I prayed, Lord, give us some good, faithful people in God's house that love you with all their heart. I'm walking on prayers from 5 years ago. I pray, Lord, let my children love you. Let my children serve you. I'm walking on prayers 5 years ago.
Come on.
Don't tell me prayer is fake.
Come on.
Don't tell me prayer don't work.
Right.
So I got to ask myself, what do I want to do? Stay in a room with 3.5 hours? No, I probably will go to the movies. I'm not going to say that. I'm going to stop. Right?
Come on,
huh? But I'm going to pray more.
Amen. Right.
I'm going to teach you to pray. I'm going to fast more.
Amen.
I'm not going to stop.
Right.
Because it's working.
Thank you, Jesus.
It's working, my friend. It's working.
Thank you, Jesus.
Huh? Prayer works.
Right.
Prayer works.
Yeah.
Huh? Prayer works. You know, listen. An individual, a church will not reach its full potential unless it really prays.
Good.
A person will not reach their full potential unless they learn the spiritual discipline of praying, fasting, praying on a daily basis. You will never reach your full potential unless you learn how to pray.
Wow. Come on.
Really pray. Really pray. Because it's only through prayer. I said it on Monday with the training is when we pull heaven down.
Amen.
We pull down the plan of God.
Come on.
You cannot experience the plan of God. You cannot discover what God's plan is for your life. Or we cannot discover what God's plan is for our church unless we pray.
Amen.
And there we are trying to do all kinds of stuff.
Right.
We're trying all kinds of methods and it blows up in our face and it never works. Maybe it's because we have not prayed.
Amen.
But when we pray, we will reach our full potential in Christ.
Amen.
If we remain prayerless, we remain powerless.
Right.
We
Amen.
Remain planless.
Mm.
And we remain purposeless. But when we pray, we reach our full potential. Then we have purpose, we have power, and we have a plan.
Amen. Good.
When we pray. And as a church,
You know, it's good. You know, it's good. We're a great church. But listen, until we pray more, until we learn this thing more about prayer, because we pray, but we don't pray enough. We pray, but we don't pray enough.
Amen.
There's more to prayer. There's more potential that God has for us. There's more plans that God has for us. But it's only going to come as we are known, as we are known as being a house of prayer. That like the New Testament church, we're known to be a praying church. That is a mark of Victory Outreach Grand Prairie. That when you go there, you may not know how to pray. But when you become a member, when you become faithful, you're going to learn how to be a prayer warrior. You're going to learn how to pray. You're going to learn how to yada with Dada. You're going to learn how to shando. You're going to learn how to bring heaven down. You're going to learn how to be a tongue-talking, demon-stomping preacher. Because you learn how to pray. You learn how to pray. The Bible says that when the church prays, they got a boldness inside of them to preach the word of God. When they pray, thousands got saved because they were a mark. They had a mark of being a praying church. Church that prayed. I mean, we want to see miracles happen, but we don't pray. Well, Pastor, I pray. I pray a lot by myself. By yourself. We got to be a praying church because praying with the church is what the New Testament church did. They had a reputation of being a praying church. And it wasn't because of an individual's prayer life, but because of the corporate prayer life that they were marked and known as a praying people.
Right.
I believe we have people that pray by themselves. Yeah. I see people all the time, you know, pray this, but I never see them in the prayer meeting. See, when Christians are full of the Holy Spirit, they desire to pray together. When Christians are filled with the Holy Spirit, it is like a magnet that draws them together with other Christians that are filled with the Holy Spirit to pray together. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, there's a desire inside us to come together with the body of Christ and bombard heaven together. For the early church, coming together to pray was the thing to do. It was the thing to do. For the early church, for the New Testament church, it was like, hey, what are we going to do tonight? Pray. What are we going to do? We're going to go prayer meeting at Paul's house. What are we going to do? Prayer meeting at John's house. What are we going to do? Prayer meeting at Peter's house. What are we going to do? Prayer meeting at Timothy's house. Prayer was the thing to do.
Amen.
But today, potluck's the thing to do. Buffalo Wild Wings is the thing to do. KFC is the thing to do. We're gonna have a fellowship at KFC. The whole church goes. We're gonna have a prayer meeting. Skeleton.
Wow.
But in the early days, praying was a thing to do. It was like, it's gonna get lit tonight. It's gonna be lit at the prayer house. It's gonna be lit in the prayer meeting. Prayer was a thing to do. Ian Bounds said, the life, power, and glory of the church is prayer. The life, power, and glory of the church is prayer. Without it, the church is lifeless and powerless. The early church was not lifeless, nor was it powerless, but they were a church that the people made it a priority to pray.
Yes, that's right.
Secondly, why we should pray with the church is that prayer with the church brings united power.
Amen.
Prayer with the church brings united power. See, maybe you even pray by yourself, but maybe your own prayer hasn't had enough power.
Come on.
Matthew 18, verse 19 through 20.
Again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them.
Amen.
Now let me break that scripture down, because sometimes we take it out of context. You know, what this scripture in context has to do with church discipline. It has to do with church discipline. If you read verses 15 through 17, listen to what it says. If your brother or sister sins, look next to you, and if it's a brother sitting, say, what's up, bro? If it's a girl, say, what's up, sis? If your brother or sister sins, now just look to him and say, what's up, sinner? Listen, if your brother or sister sins, go and point out their faults. Oh no, but today we live in a society, only God can judge me.
Right?
Don't judge me.
Come on.
Only Kiki can judge me. Right? My mama said. Anyways, if your brother or sister sins, go and point out their faults. Just between the two of you. Okay, just between the two of you.
Yeah.
Come on. Hey, bro, you know you shouldn't be doing that.
Come on.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, you know, you're right. That's some people's response. It's cool. If they do that, cool. All right. You win them over. But it'll be like, what do you mean, do what? I don't know what you're talking about. That's the most common response.
Yeah.
It says, if they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along. Take one or two others along. Wherever one or two are gathered, there I am in the midst of them. It's tied in. So that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church.
Wow.
And if they refuse to listen, even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Cut them off. That's the beginning. Then what comes after? Again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And it's in context of what we just talked about. Church discipline. See, a praying church is a powerful church. The reason why a praying church is a powerful church is because it's a church of conviction. It's a church that has a conviction to deal with sin. There are so many churches that do not deal with sin. There is no church discipline. And then whenever a church like ours tries to institute church discipline, what do you mean you had to sit that brother down? He was a good brother. What do you mean you had to sit that sister down? She was a good girl. According to who? Huh? My Bible tells me all have sinned, fall short of the glory of God. My Bible tells me none are good, no, not one. Oh, y'all strict over there, VO. Huh? What do you mean we gotta be faithful and I miss church and everybody, you know, kind of looks at me crazy. Everybody's inboxing me, messaging me. Huh? That's almost like a little church discipline right there.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Holding you accountable.
That's right.
Huh? And but some people are like, no, man, they're just too controlling. Huh? And there's some churches that just let people do whatever they want.
Right.
They can be in the choir on Sunday, they were in the club on Saturday.
Oh.
They're taking communion Sunday morning. Sunday night, they're with Bud Light.
Oh, come on.
Huh? Sin weakens the church. And when sin is allowed without being dealt with, it saps the power of our prayers. I would say try it, but I don't want you to sin. I would say try it, but I know you already tried it. Because I have.
Come on, man.
Sin, let me just say it like this, that way I don't pick on you. Sin saps my power in prayer.
That's right.
That's the
truth.
Right? Remember, like I told you earlier, when I was worshiping the Lord, I was just like in the caught up.
Yes.
And then Frankie came.
Yes, man. Yep.
Jumped in the flesh real quick. Rebuked him. And then, man, I ran. That presence left. Right? Sin saps the power. It's the same thing corporately with the church. When we as a church don't have discipline. Now, I'm not just being put on discipline, but having the discipline of prayer, discipline of fasting, discipline of giving, discipline of evangelism, discipline of worship. We have no power. And then when there's sin in the church, when there's a lot of shacking up in the church, and it's not preached, it's not dealt with.
Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. People come in, you know, unmarried, and, you know, let the Lord deal with them. Let the Word deal with them. But after a while, there needs to be a leader.
Amen.
There needs to be a pastor.
Yeah.
That brings up the topic.
Mm-hmm.
When are you going to get one of these?
Come on, man.
When are you going to make things right?
Right.
Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Huh? And a lot of times, couples have problems. They have problems. They have problems. And you find out that they're not married. Well, no wonder you got problems.
Right.
Get married and that's half the problem. Come on, somebody. The other problems, the other half, some things don't go out but prayer and fasting. Come on, somebody. Huh? But at least take care of half of the problem. Sin weakens the church. When sin is allowed without being dealt with, it saps the power of our prayers. But when a church prays together on how to deal with the brother or sister that's in sin, in prayer, something's done. You know, this context, that we read this context, what does it say? It says deal, it's church discipline. And then automatically it jumps into prayer. You know why? Because the two or three Christians are supposed to come together and pray and get wisdom from God on how to deal with that brother and sister in prayer. Why? Because they fully understand that it can backfire on them.
Yeah. Right.
So therefore, the people that know about it, they should come together and pray so that they can figure out, okay, how can we properly deal with this brother or sister? How can we want to save them? We want to redeem them. We want to love them back into where they need to be at.
Yeah. Yeah. Good.
So they got to come into prayer so that God can give them wisdom and revelation, and so they can have a boldness so that they don't have to get scared when that brother gets mad or that sister gets mad, because people get mad
right. When
you get up in their Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
Right? Huh? But it's prayer.
Right.
Huh? It's prayer. But you know what? We honor God because we're doing the right thing.
Right.
We honor God because we're doing the right thing. Huh? See, a church that is careless of discipline will be careless in praying. If we don't care about discipline, people living right. And what are we caring about prayer? See, prayer gives us a conviction to want to live right. Prayer, getting close. Why? Because prayer draws us close to God. Prayer draws us close to God. Prayer, anything, prayer shows us. Prayer shows us our deficiencies before God. And so prayer, it shows us that we are people of a filthy mind, we're people of a filthy heart. We're people that we're undone before the Lord. Right. And when we're in prayer, that conviction comes upon us as individuals, but it comes upon us as a church also.
Amen.
And all of a sudden it makes us want to change. See, when, and you know what happens when this happens? Let me break down. Because we're talking about united prayer makes us more powerful. Look what happens. When we come together and we pray and we deal with sin in our lives and in the church, you know what happens? It brings us closer to God. It unifies us closer to God. So you know what happens, therefore, because we're more united with Christ, our prayers become more powerful.
Amen.
You see, it's not just about sitting in the same location and praying about the same thing. When we read the scripture about when two or three are gathered in my name, and whatever they ask and they come in agreement for, it shall be done for them. It's not just about being in the same place asking for the same thing. It's about being united in heart. It's about being united in mind. It's about being united in conviction. And that only comes through wanting to be like God and be holy and be like His Word. And when we come together like this, there's a unity in spirit. There's a unity in heart. There's a unity within our convictions to say we have a conviction.
Yeah.
There's a conviction. And there's a, you know what happens? There's a closer bond. The closer the bond, the more powerful the prayer. The higher the unity, the greater the authority in prayer. So you can't just get a Christian from that church and a Christian from this church and a Christian from that church and just bring them in one place and then just, you know what, you guys agree on this prayer right here. Because each one of those Christians may have a different conviction. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
But when the church comes, when a local church comes and we have the same conviction,
amen,
the bond is closer.
Yes.
When we have a deeper conviction to win the city. To win souls, to build the church. Why do you think we're always preaching on vision? We're trying to form a bond. We're trying to form a bond.
Yeah.
Right? Why do you think I'm always casting the vision? I'm always casting the vision.
Amen. Amen.
To build the church.
That's right.
I'm trying to form a bond.
Amen.
That we all speak the same language.
Yeah, right.
That's what we talk about, having the DNA.
Amen.
Having our DNA. DNA to win the city, to win the world. Because we're trying to build a stronger bond.
Yeah.
And when we all get it, when we all compete it, when we all comprehend it, and it's just not a saying, but it becomes reality, it becomes a conviction, it becomes our heart, it becomes what we dream about, it becomes what we think about.
Man.
We become united. And when we're united like that, that's where power comes.
Man.
When we're united. This is why a married couple can get together and they can pray for their children and see their children get saved.
Amen.
This is why me and my wife, we get together, we pray. I say, come on, honey, let's pray. And I hold her hand and I begin to pray for my family. I pray for my sons. I pray for my daughters. I pray for the church.
Amen.
And there's a oneness.
Right.
We both don't want to see our kids go to the world.
Oh.
We pray for our marriage. We both want our marriage to survive and bring glory to God.
Right.
Yes, yes.
Amen.
And here we are. Our children serving God. Our marriage thriving. Because it's a conviction for both of us.
Yes.
See, there's a bond.
But we need that in the church.
Yes.
That the church can come together. Say, man, I'm praying for your family as you're praying for my family. I'm praying for your children as I'm praying for you, as you're praying for my children. We're praying for pastor because he's our pastor. He's our pastor. We love our spiritual father.
Come on.
Amen.
There's a bond.
Amen.
There's a bond.
That's right.
That's the unification power. It comes through prayer.
Amen. Good, Pastor. Good preaching.
Maybe there's some prayers that you've been praying for by yourself for a long time.
Come on now.
And haven't been answered.
Come on now.
Maybe it's because you've been praying by yourself.
That's good. Come on.
Maybe it's been because you've been praying by yourself. Three, united prayer makes us more effective as a church and in preaching the gospel. Look at Acts chapter 4. Turn the page. Acts chapter 4. Verse 18 and 20. United prayer makes us more effective as a church and in preaching the gospel. It says, then they called them in again. They had locked up the disciples in prison. It says, then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. Skip down to verse 23 and verse 24. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. What did they say? Not to preach and teach in this name. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. They raised their voices together as a church in prayer to God. When they heard this, they said, listen to what they prayed. This is what they prayed. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. Skip down to verse 20. This is the 29, I guess, somewhere between there. It says, now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Listen to what they prayed for. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Where, didn't they just tell them not to preach and teach? Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. The apostles here were being persecuted for preaching the gospel. Their response was to pray. You know that persecution always leads to prayer. Persecution always leads to prayer. Problems always lead to prayer.
Amen.
Don't cry about your problems. Pray about them.
Come on now.
Well, why do I have so many problems? Because God loves you. Why do you have so many problems? Because God loves you. And he knows the only time he hears from you.
Oh, come on.
Come on,
man. That's right.
He knows the time he really hears from you. He knows the time he really hears the real you.
Come on.
Follow me now.
Come on.
It's when problems come. When problems come, oh, we're real before God. Come on, somebody. Oh, God, I know I'm a sinner. I messed up just yesterday. But please have mercy. Huh? See, the apostles were being persecuted for preaching the gospel. Their response was to pray. Did they pray for protection and safety? Did they pray for protection and safety from those that were persecuting them, from those that were throwing them in jail? No! That's probably what we would pray for. When we run into problems, all of a sudden we pray for an exit. We pray for an easy way out.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
That doesn't sound like their prayer.
Wow, come on.
They prayed for more power.
Amen.
To get into more trouble.
Amen. Come on.
That's right.
That's right.
That's
right.
Oh, man, I really make the devil mad this time. Huh? I really make the devil mad this time being into the drama. I really make the devil mad this time going to the streets. I really make the devil mad this time praying and fasting.
Hello.
Well, guess what? Pray and fast more and make it more matter.
Amen.
Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
Huh? Because that's what the disciples prayed for.
Yeah.
They didn't pray for no God, God, step on the brakes, step on the brakes.
Mm.
No, they prayed, God, step on the gas, step on the gas. Let us go faster. Let us go forward. We don't want to slow down. We want to preach even more. We want to see even more miracles done by your hand. Because united prayer makes us more effective as a church and in preaching the gospel. They prayed for boldness to preach. The results, it says, the place where they were sitting or standing was shaken.
Wow.
Was shaken. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and went out and preached boldly the word of God. They went out and preached boldly the word of God. Why? Because first some persecution came, and then they prayed. And then the prayer gave them more power to preach louder, to preach with more boldness, to win more souls, and the church expanded. Because they were a church that prayed. See, the instrument of expansion in the kingdom of God is the church, but the force is prayer.
Amen.
We're the instrument that God wants to use to expand the kingdom to the left and to the right. But it's prayer that is the force that drives us. Prayer is what's going to push us forward. Pastor Sonny and the pioneers of this ministry expanded the vision through prayer. We're going to continue the vision through prayer and through fasting. We're going to continue. This is how we're going to continue. But we need to reach our full potential by being a praying church, by having the mark of being a praying church. That's how we're going to reach our full potential, by being a congregation that prays, by being a people that prays.
Amen.
Fourthly, why pray with the church is because praying with the church. Pray with the church because the preacher needs your prayers.
Yeah. Right. Amen.
I need your prayers. Paul was one of the most educated men of that time. Angels appeared to Paul. He's the only man that the Bible says went to heaven, saw heaven, and came back. He did many miracles and healed many people. Yet despite all he did, he still asked for the church to pray for him. How much more do I need your prayers? Come on, somebody. Hmm? Listen to these verses where Paul asked for prayer. Romans 15:30, verse 30-32. He says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me.
Wow, that's good,
Pastor. To join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. That's the problem, is we don't want to struggle.
Wow.
The problem of the American church is that the American church doesn't want to struggle.
That's right.
Wow.
We live in a society that says struggling is bad.
Come on, somebody.
Hmm? We can't even get people to struggle with us physically. How are we going to get them to struggle with us spiritually? If you're not going to do it physically, at least do it spiritually.
Hello.
This word struggle is like it's a powerful. That Paul says, he says, struggle with me in prayer.
Come on, Pastor.
Do you struggle in prayer?
Come on.
Do you struggle in prayer? I struggle in prayer. Come on, somebody. I struggle with the flesh. I struggle with focus. Huh? I get into prayer and all of a sudden everybody wants to text me. Everybody wants to call me. Come on, somebody. Hey, it happens. Huh? It's the struggle. But Paul says, struggle with me. Struggle with me in prayer. Struggle with me. Struggle with me in prayer. This is part of the ministry, to struggle with me in prayer. This is the tedious part. This part is not in the limelight, you know, preaching's in the limelight, but this part right here is behind the scenes.
Right.
This is where the real fight is fought.
That's right.
So he says, struggle with me in prayer as your leader, as your apostle, as your pastor, as your preacher. Struggle with me in to God by praying for me to God. Pray for me, he says. And then he says, pray that I may be kept from the unbelievers in Judea, because he was in trouble. And the contribution that I take to Jerusalem may be favorably received by the Lord's people there, so that I may come to you with joy by God's will, and in your company be refreshed. And then 2 Corinthians 1:11 says, as you help us by your prayers. As you help us by your prayers. You know how you can help, Pastor? Pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for Sylvia. Pray for us. Huh? It says, then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. Matter if we have, man, tell you, pray for me, and then tell other people to pray for me. Because that's how you help us. That's how you help us carry the load, through prayer. Prayer is the most effective thing we can do as a church. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 and 20. It says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me. Ain't no shame in Paul's game. Pray for me. Huh? That whenever I speak, words may be given, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. That's what you need to be praying for me. You need to be praying that when I preach, I can declare the gospel as fearlessly as I can. You need to be praying for me that I can declare the gospel and the message as clearly as I can, as effectively as I can. I need the church praying for me. You say, man, why can't we have a TD Jakes for a pastor? Well, pray for me, man. Maybe I'll turn into a preacher like that.
Come on, man.
You gotta pray. Pray for the preacher. You gotta pray for the preacher.
Right.
The prime target. Colossians 4, 3 through 4. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. 2 Thessalonians 3:1, as for other matters, brothers and sisters, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored just as it is with you. If Paul was so dependent on the prayers of the church for his ministry to have success, how much more do we need to pray for our preacher? If you want our church to have a lasting impact, and you should, being that you invest money and time and effort, then we should pray for our pastor and preacher.
Amen. Amen.
Saturate each one of my sermons with prayer.
Amen.
Saturate my sermons with prayer. Fifthly, the last thing, piano player, come up. Pray with the church because you need others. Pray with the church because you need other people to pray for you. So you pray for the preacher, but then you need to pray with the church because you need other people to pray for you. Oh, you're all that bad that you don't need nobody to pray for you. If Paul needed people to pray for him, even Jesus asked for prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. He told the disciples, could you not pray with me? Could you not watch with me for 1 hour? It says, watch and pray lest you fall into temptation. He was in anguish. James chapter 5, verse 13 through 16. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And pray for each other that you may be healed. You're sick? Come to church so we can pray for you. Some people, Pastor, I'm sick. I can't come to the church. Put a pañuelo on, bring some hand sanitizer, and come let us pray for you. Come let us pray for you. Huh? Oh, I'm going to go to the doctor. I'm going to go to the doctor. You need that insurance. Then you're in debt with all these doctor bills. Well, you ain't got no faith. You ain't got insurance, but you got some faith. You got a church. You got some elders. No, but first thing, no. I need to go get a shot. No, you need some holy hands laid on you. Some of the things you seek from God may not be given except when others in the church pray for you. Some of the things that you seek from God will not be given unless someone in the church prays for you. It's good. Listen, it's all good. Pray on your own. That's all good. But you need to come to church so that the church can pray for you. And maybe that's when you'll get your breakthrough. Because the instructions here is to pray for one another. The person is told to call the elders of the church. Call the elders of the church. Doesn't say just pray for yourself. You know, sometimes you might need to lay hands on yourself, but if that don't work, call the elders, call the leaders, and get the anointing oil. There may be some things you are praying for right now that you will not receive unless the church or a group within the church prays for you. We can't let our Western individualistic spirit keep us thinking that it's a sign of weakness to ask others to pray for us. In closing, if you are unwilling to pray with others, you are too independent spiritually and not living biblically. If you are unwilling to pray with others, you are too independent spiritually and you're not living biblically. Become an active prayer. Become an active part of the prayer life of the church. Yeah. Become an active part of the prayer life of the church. How? By coming an hour early for prayer before each service. Come an hour early. I mean, I understand you might be 10 minutes late, 15 minutes late, but come early. That's how you that's how in Victory Heights, that's how you become an active member of the prayer of the church. Huh? So in reality, church doesn't start on 7:30 on Fridays, it starts at 6:30. Because we come pray.
Amen.
Sunday mornings. Huh? Church doesn't start at 10:30. It starts at 9:30 because we come pray.
Right.
Huh? A lot of new people come on Sunday mornings. Even more so. You should be rushing to the altar to pray. God, give pastor a message. God, anoint the word that you put on his heart. God, you know, lead him by the Holy Spirit. God, give him the right word in season. God, God, I need a word. The people need a word. Pray. Participate in the prayer and fasting of the church when a fast is called.
Yeah, that's right.
We called a fast for, you know, we mentioned we're going to fast this Friday. I told some of the team and some of the leaders, put it on Facebook, on a flyer. And then many of us were fasting today. Let me see, wait a minute, who fasted with us? Praise God, amen, that's good. Some of you probably didn't know, you know, but maybe fast, good. Next week we're going to do it again. I'm thinking about just doing it the whole month of August. Fasting Fridays. Just Prayer moves the hand of God.
Right.
Yeah.
Fasting brings faster answers.
Right.
How many need fast answers? The fast. This is how you participate in the prayer life of the church, when you pray and fast with us. Stay for prayer meetings when they're held. When they're held, we call a prayer meeting. Sometimes we call prayer meetings after Friday night service. Stay. So even if it's just for an hour.
Yeah.
Stay. But then eventually you should learn how to tarry with us.
Yes.
Eventually after learn, you got to learn how to tarry with us.
Right.
Tarry long. That's what Jesus said. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was praying for hours. The disciples fell asleep. They wanted their pillow. They didn't want prayer. They wanted their pillow. That's how it is on Friday nights when we have prayer meetings. People want their pillow, not prayer. And Jesus rebuked the disciples. Could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Be a part of the prayer life of the church by staying for prayer meetings. Staying for prayer meetings. You know, we need a prayer ministry in Victory Outreach Presbytery. Who's going to start a prayer ministry? Who's going to start the prayer ministry? You know, I'm here early for prayer. Sometimes I'm here early for prayer. I'm there. And people come and they pray, you know. And we think, Victory Outreach Presbytery thinks that's a prayer ministry. That's not a prayer ministry. That's prayer. That prayer ministry part, we started, me and Sylvia. And sometimes I'm up here, and then people come up here and pray. The leaders come up here and pray. People come up here and pray, and they're praying. And I feel sorry for some people because they're up here for like 25 minutes praying. And they're like catching their breath. They're like praying, Lord God, I pray for the city. God, I pray for pastors. And God. And inside, they're saying, I forget to what I need to pray for next. They ran out of prayer. And there's a lot of people over here. And I'm like, and I'm hearing that. I'm like, they're struggling. They ran out of stuff to pray. And I'm looking for somebody, another prayer warrior. Who's going to, am I the only one listening to the prayer? And I'm like, who's going to, and I look around for a leader, and there's no leaders. They're doing this, they're doing that, and praise God, they're handling responsibility. But my point is, where's the prayer leader? Where's my whip? Remember the whip?
Yeah.
When Jesus made the whip, what did he do? When he made the whip, and he started to whoosh the people in the temple, why? Because of prayer. Because there was no prayer going on. And they made it a house of thieves. When there's no prayer going on in the church will become a house of thieves.
Wow.
This is why we need to be, this is why Victory Outreach Presbytery needs to have prayer. Because we'll be the biggest thieves of all. Hello, somebody. Huh? Get involved in the prayer. Who's going to be that whip? And then, you know, they're here and all they're here at 6:30. They're not here at 6:30. They're here at 6 o'clock on Fridays, and they're already setting the atmosphere of prayer. And they're waiting for people here. They're raising up more prayer people to pray on the altar. And that's why they're here. They're not worried about picking people up. They're not. I mean, they're not worried about, you know, getting the water. They're not worried about, you know, the parking lot. They're not worried about, you know, the greeting. They're worried about prayer. They want to make sure that Jesus don't walk up into this church and makes a whip. They're here, man. They're praying. If they have to pray the whole hour, then they'll be up their whole hour, but they're not going to forget on what to pray. They're going to have a lot of energy. But it shouldn't be like that. This is a constant reservoir of prayer warriors in the house of God. Huh? There's a line of people that want to pray. And not to be seen, because I've seen that. People come and they want to pray to be seen. They're up here. God, yes, God, pray down the fire, God. Lord, you're trying to get a rib, so they're like, Lord, you're mighty and strong. That girl's sick. Because they want to be seen. Or girls come up here.
pray. You don't want to be seen. You want to pray. You want to pray for your church. You want to pray for your pastor. And you don't get all mad. You don't get all mad when they're always up here praying for a pastor. Some people, why are they always praying for a pastor? Why can't they pray for me? They are praying for you. They're praying for pastor because pastor got to deal with you. Pastor got to counsel you. Pastor got to preach to you. That's why they're praying for me. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
Pray for the leaders because we're the ones that got. If you pray for us, man, we're going to help you.
Right.
It needs to be. We need to start a prayer ministry. If you want to be involved in prayer, start a prayer ministry like Pastor's Prayer Partners. We need Pastor's Prayer Partners. Because like Pastor Ed once said, he said, the devil would love to get his hands on my chubby body. He said that. He preached it at a world conference. He said, the devil would love to get his hands on my chubby body.
Right.
And I stood up, amen! Our prayer ministry, Pastor's Prayer Partners.
That's right, Pastor.
Start a church-wide prayer ministry. We should be a church that's known that when people are sick in the hospital,
come on,
man, you're fighting to go visit them.
Come on.
As excited as we are for the streets, as excited as we are for fellowship, as excited as we are for life group, as excited as we are for drama, we should be such excited to go pray for people. We should have prayer rallies.
Come on.
We should have prayer, all kinds of prayer. Visiting prayer, visit people in the hospital, visit, go pray, follow up. You go and you just follow up on new people. You say, I just came to pray for you. I just want to pray for you. There's power in prayer. Prayer's real. It's not a fantasy. It's real. You can pray for people. We need to be a church that's marked prayer.
Amen.
We need to cover the church in prayer. We need to cover our plans must come through prayer. Our plans must come through prayer. Our messages must come through prayer. Our evangelism and worship must flow through prayer. This keeps us alive and powerful as the body of Christ. We pray together as a church. I know you can pray by yourself. That's great. Keep on praying for you. But don't neglect corporate prayer. Fast with us. Pray with us. If the Lord puts it on your heart to be in the ministry of prayer, don't stay silent. Too many people stay silent because the devil grabs your tongue. Huh? Yeah, I mean, yeah, I got a good, yeah, others probably could do it, but God brought you here. Josh can't do all the ministries. Aaron can't do all the ministries. Luis can't do all the ministries. The leaders can't do all the ministries. Joe's can't do all the ministries. We need people who are going to rise up. And you know what? When we do that, we're going to fulfill our potential as a church. Because this, we have a lot of potential in the church, Grand Perry. We have a lot of potential. We're a great church, man. You're a great church. I know I preach like this, and I know I give it to you. You know, I don't hold back. I give it to you, right? You know? The Lord told me tonight, He said, take your time. He said, take your time. I said, praise God, we take my time. It's because I'm going to give it. Why? We're not because you're not a good, we're a great church. We're a good church. But the Lord says, we have not reached our potential. He says, there's so much potential in this church. It's only going to come. It's only going to come through being prayer, a praying church. And we need to master the art of prayer. We need to master the art of prayer. It's not just coming and yada wadada and scooby-dooby-doo and, you know, and praying this and praying that. It's about mastering the art of prayer. It's about getting the targets right. It's hitting the target. Sometimes we just come up and we just pray and we're just shooting everywhere. When God says, no, I got a target for you. I got a target for this church. Where is the ones that can bring that into focus? Bring that into focus.
That's when we mature as a church in prayer. That's when we mature as a church in prayer. Stand to your feet here tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Master. The devil doesn't want us to pray.
Right.
He doesn't want you to pray. Some of you may be even struggling in your individual prayer life. Because the enemy wants to take your power. Am I saying if you pray you won't have problems? No, I didn't say that. I said, matter of fact, if you pray, you're probably going to get some more problems. Because when you pray, you're poking at the enemy. But sometimes you gotta poke him and poke him and poke him and poke him till he gets away. Till he gets away. I've been poking the enemy for years. Till he gets away from you. If you're first fresh getting out from the world, he's gonna come at you because he's gonna try to get you to fall. You gotta keep on poking him with prayer. Keep poking him with prayer. Then sometimes you gotta get a sledgehammer of fasting. Whack him with a sledgehammer. And then he'll start to think twice before hitting you. He'll start to think twice. He'll start to say, I gotta come out a different way, because if I come out this way, he's gonna poke me again, or he's gonna hit me with the sledgehammer again. So he says, so all of a sudden it becomes a little bit more crap. He's still gonna come, he's just gonna be more subtle. But guess what? Because you're a man and woman of prayer, God shows you. He reveals to you how he's going to come. And then all of a sudden, when he reveals it to you, when it does come, you're already ready for the hit. So you're like, you prepare yourself. You grip yourself. You prepare yourself to take that hit. So when you do get hit, you don't fall. You don't fall, but you stay strong. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. If you're a man of prayer, and if you're a woman of prayer, that'll be a person of prayer. And then together, unified together, we got to pray for one another. We got to come together in the body of Christ. You know, and together we pray for one another. It should always be fellowship. And it should always be, I'm praying for you. I'm going to be praying for you. I'm going to be praying for that. I'm going to be praying for you, Pastor. I'm going to be praying when you go do that rally. I'm going to be praying when you go preach over here. I'm going to be praying when you go do that. I'm going to be praying for the drama team. I'm not in the drama, but I'm going to be praying for the drama team. It's prayer. And we really pray. We don't just say we pray. Because sometimes we say, oh, I'm praying for you, but we're really not.
Come on now.
Huh? Do we really pray? We really need to pray. We really need to pray. Are you hearing me, church?
Yes.
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, tonight, God, I pray, Father, that, Lord, you would build up the church. Build up the church. As a mighty force of prayer. A mighty force in prayer. God, I pray, God, and I come against the prayerless spirit. I come against the independent spirit. God, I pray, God, that, Father, even some of the prayers that we've been praying for, God, that seem a long time coming. Lord, let us wait upon the Lord. Let us wait upon you patiently. Because I believe in a few years we're going to be walking on those prayers. We're going to see our family saved, God. We're going to see healing take place. We're going to see our marriage. Our marriages, God, be strong and stable. I pray, God, that, Lord, we would feel comfortable praying with the church. Even though it's a struggle, let us not lose heart. Let us not grow weary. For in due time we shall reap a harvest if we do not faint.
Yes.
make us a praying church. God, raise up a prayer leader. Raise up prayer leaders. We need a pastor's prayer partners. We need a prayer leader, God. We need prayer leaders, God. We need strong prayer leaders. Because we know that the enemy's going to try to hit them, God. He's going to try to hit them with all he got. This is why we haven't had one till now, God, because the enemy doesn't want us to have one. But you do. You do. And I pray that through this message, you would provoke some in the church. You would provoke a team in the church to say, I want to be a part of that. I want to help our church through prayer. And I'll take upon that responsibility. I'll put that target on my back. I'll lead the charge. I'll carry the weight. I'll be the prayer armor bearer. Father, do this, I pray. Raise up a praying church. Raise up a praying church. Help me to pray, God. I want to pray more. I want to fast more. Tonight, you're here tonight and you need to pray. You need to pray. Maybe there's something heavy on your heart. Maybe the message just ministered to you in a special way. Maybe you need special prayer. I want you to come to the altar. I want us to come to the altar. And if you need prayer, find somebody to pray with you. Find somebody to pray with you. Don't be ashamed of what your need is. Don't be ashamed. The devil wants you to be silent. The devil doesn't want you to tell your brothers and sisters because he knows that the scripture says that we are to pray for one another. Why would the Bible tell us to do something that doesn't work? If the Bible tells us to do something, that means it'll work. If Jesus told us to do something, if he told us to come in agreement and that he would do it. Jesus don't lie. So right there where you're at, whatever it is, you pray. You pray. Pray with one another. Pray with one another. The Lord might just put it on your heart just to pray for your pastors. That's okay too. Whatever it is. Word is not confined. Don't wait till the problems come to pray. Don't wait for the problem come to fast. Start praying now. Start fasting now. A lot of times I think about that. Things are going good. Things are going good in the ministry, in my family. But sometimes I think, man, I know the devil is lurking. I know he's creeping. I know he's looking. So sometimes I say, man, I'm going to fast and I'm going to pray because I know he's coming. I can't preach and save souls and do ministry and expect the enemy not to hit me. So therefore, God, let me pray before the fact. Let me fast before the fact. Because he's going to come either which way. But at least if I'm prayed up and fasted up, at least I'm ready. At least I'm ready to take the hit. At least I'm ready to bounce back. Pray. You might not be going through nothing. Everything might be good. Finances are good. Family's good. Health is good. But learn to pray before the fact. Learn to fast before the fact. Learn to put a hedge of protection around you, your marriage, your church before the fast. Hallelujah.